Thank you for joining us for Life in Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Call now with your tax questions at 252-222-4848.
And we'd like to welcome Andrew Foster to the studio here. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Mike.
And tax season is starting up, but there's some news on the front as when IRS will start accepting tax returns. When is that?
February 12th.
That's a nice day. That's a memorable day, February 12th.
It's almost Valentine's Day. Almost,
So
you can love to file your tax return on that particular day.
I think it's Lincoln's birthday, too.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Where's Gary and Newbern to tell us?
A little later than usual this year. You know, normally we're looking at between the 20th and the 30th of January have been customary starts to tax season, but now it's February 12th. Their reasoning was program and testing of IRS systems.
Oof.
So, you know, they claimed that due to the bill that was passed on December 27th, which included the $600 stimulus payments, they needed to, you know, redo some of the software. Because again, those $600 payments have to be factored in because there's a rebate now. We're going to get into that a little bit later.
That's a little confusing to me at least. So I'll keep quiet and let you keep talking.
Yeah. And so the big question we get from a lot of our listeners is once we announce the start of tax season, which is February 12th, okay, well, I want to get mine filed before then. How do I do that? And the answer to that is can't.
No.
You know, so even if you mail it in, it's going to sit in a nice little stack right over there, and they will not start processing returns until February 12th. Even e-file it till then.
Would you recommend mailing your tax returns?
No, e-file or mailing.
You're comfortable. You're comfortable with the mail.
I would say, obviously, if you mail your tax return, then you need to mail it certified.
Okay,
mail.
Good idea.
I mean,
good
that
advice.
Is always number one. You need proof that you mailed that tax return in.
Okay.
You know, e-filing, obviously, you get your confirmation that your return has been accepted.
Okay.
So that way, either way you go, whether you mail it with certified mail or you e-file, you're going to get that confirmation knowing that your return did in fact get there. Because as we both know, Mike, there's a lot of questions on 2020 returns because there's a bunch of unopened envelopes that are sitting at the IRS as we speak.
Mine being one of them.
Yours being one of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is one huge thing, which is here we are moving into tax season to file your 2020 returns. And the question is 2019 really over?
Yeah.
Because
no, the door's not closed.
Yeah, because here's the issue we've got. You know, I'm sitting there with several estates files that I've made estate income tax return filings for, and I'm still waiting on five or six refund checks to hit our office for those. And you know, we know the IRS is still sitting on piles of unopened mail and sending out notices saying you owe, you know, money to the IRS when in fact your check is sitting right there and hasn't been processed yet. So it is one of those situations where it's a little disconcerting to be starting a new filing season when we feel like, has 2019 fully been wrapped up? And I think the answer to that is unfortunately no. In a lot of cases.
Quickly, in my case, I haven't received my return for 2019. Do I need to do anything different when I present my tax material this year?
No.
No, so just let that sit back there.
Yeah.
Compartmentalize and just focus on
that's a big question. I mean, a lot of tax preparers right now are talking about what do they do about these situations. And if you're one of those taxpayers that's received these notices saying you owe when you know, I don't owe anything. I sent the money and I sent my return in and here I am getting this, you know, computer generated notice telling me that I owe money. The IRS is saying give us more time. I mean, that's literally what they're saying right now. Give us some more time. Give us some more time. It's going to get worked out. We're going to get it processed. Fingers crossed, I guess, because, you know, it's been a while, you know, and I understand the delays due to the pandemic. But at some point in time, you know, the snowball effect happens, Mike. You know, if they've got piles of unopened mail that are sitting there, and here we go, we're talking about February 12th with a whole lot more piles that are going to start coming in.
Yeah.
You know, we really have a situation where it could get a little out of control.
Yeah.
And so I'm hopeful that these refund checks that we're waiting on are going to start rolling in, you know, here in the next couple weeks. Oof. before this new filing season gets set up. Now, this year, just so you know, April 15th is our filing deadline. So that's one of the big questions.
Okay.
We're back to our traditional date. Now, you know, there was a couple of interesting, there's that that Emancipation Day in D.C. is a holiday that sometimes gets us, that delays the filing deadline to a April 16th or April 17th.
Right.
And then there's always obviously a weekend if it falls on a weekend.
Yeah.
April 15th is a Friday this year. So, you know, you get to have that happy Friday of getting that return submitted and then, you know,
enjoy the
go
weekend.
Off for the weekend.
Yeah, that's right. Commiserate.
The other thing that's interesting about the February 12th start to filing season is, through the various bills that were passed this past year, they've announced that any return that claims an earned income tax credit or an additional child tax credit, they were actually going to hold those refunds until February 15th anyways.
Okay.
So now it's kind of interesting. The dates kind of line up.
Yeah.
So those taxpayers that are out there that take advantage of the earned income tax credit or additional child tax credit, you know, really this delayed filing season is going to be good for you because your return would have been delayed being processed anyways. So you're back on kind of the normal schedule, so to speak, with this time period. You know, what does the form look like this year? This is kind of one of those, the form 1040 keeps
shrinking,
evolving a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, the best way to say it, because every year it's like, what does it look like this year? You know, we've had those, let's try to get it a post to the size of a postcard.
It's getting close.
And then, you know, what happens with it, Mike, is they do it on half sheets of paper.
Uh-huh.
And then it just kind of looks weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, this past couple years, they've done two partial pages and then five schedules. This year, they've gotten it down to two full length pages and then three schedules. So they've actually tried to shrink the number of schedules, but then increase the size of the paper. Cause you know, most people, even though it's great to say you're going to file your return on a postcard.
Yeah.
But for practical purposes, when you got a standard,
you
know, size
by 11,
you know, and you make it small on a sheet of paper, it doesn't really do that much.
Right.
So I'm glad to see that they maybe have tried to shrink the number of schedules.
We're going to have to go out on that note, Andrew.
Gotcha.
If you want to reach Andrew at the office, call 252-726-9050 or go online to HarvellandCollins.com. A lot of questions we'll cover in the coming weeks when we talk to Andrew Foster and Life and Taxes. We'll be right back after this quick break. Hey, welcome back to Coastal Daybreak. We went a little short in that last segment with Life and Taxes and Andrew Foster. And Andrew is obliging some extra time here to put out some information that I think is really important, Andrew, with regards to folks like, such as myself and my wife, who haven't received our second stimulus check. And, you know, tax day starts on February 12th, and they're saying, well, you may have to apply for a credit.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So what we've got here is this dichotomy of the economic impact payments,
right,
and then we have this recovery rebate credit. So it's actually has some interesting rules attached to it. So the main one that we're concerned about, Mike, and I know you're talking about the second payment, which
right.
is the $600 payment,
yes.
But the main one is the first payment, the
yes.
$1,200 payment,
mm-hmm.
because honestly, if you haven't received that one by now, it's not coming.
Right.
You know, that one's pretty much done. So the one that the second payment, you know, I'd tell our listeners continue to wait for those. And hopefully we get them prior to the February 12th filing, you know, begin the filing season. And then that way you don't have to worry about this whole recovery rebate credit issue because as we were talking during the break, what happens if you take that recovery rebate credit and then boom, your check hits and comes in the mail the next day.
Yeah.
Or it hits your account through direct deposit.
Yeah.
So either one of those could cause a little bit of an issue there, which I would say right now, hopefully they will get those checks. I mentioned last program that there's that ability to check where's my payment.
Yeah, it's real easy. IRS.gov.
Correct.
Just go through the first screen. It's in your,
put your information in. Like I said,
name, social, and street address, and date of birth and zip code, I think.
Yeah. And then it'll tell you when the expected payment was made, supposed to be made and scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
So really this issue comes up, I hope, predominantly for our listeners out there who didn't receive the first economic impact payment, that $1,200 payment. Now, what you're supposed to do is, if you didn't receive that payment, is file for a recovery rebate credit. And all that is a refundable tax credit that allows you to take that off your taxes. Remember, credit's a dollar-for-dollar reduction mm-hmm. in taxes owed. And then in the event that you exceed the amount of taxes owed, it comes back to you as a refundable tax credit, meaning you get a check.
Is there a line item on the 1040 for that, or is it a separate schedule?
Yeah, good question. I haven't seen it yet because we're still working on the 1040
okay.
as we speak. So I'm not quite sure. I can obviously follow up on that one. But some interesting things have arisen, Mike, relative to this recovery rebate credit versus economic impact payment. And remember, when I talk about economic impact payment, I really just mean the stimulus checks. That's really what a long form way to say that. But we have an interesting scenario here where if an individual, and for our executors out there, and obviously at Harvell and Collins, we'll be advising our clients accordingly. If you had individuals that died in 2020 who weren't eligible for the payment because of when they died,
yeah.
You know, we had a lot of that at Harvell and Collins where we were receiving checks because our clients filed a 2018 return, but
sure.
They died in either 2019 or 2020. If they died in 2020, you're still eligible to take this recovery rebate credit. So even though you didn't get the economic impact payment, the stimulus check, even though you didn't get that, or let's say you got it and you had to send it back because they died prior to depositing it, then you're now eligible to file a return and take this recovery rebate credit.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah.
Another one is if you have a non-dependent student who under the second program, they weren't eligible for the stimulus check, they can actually, even if they're not required to file a return, they can then file a return and get and take the recovery rebate credit and, again, get their $600. So we're going to have some students that are out there who weren't eligible because they were over the age of majority, but they were non-dependents and basically don't have to file normally, but boom, they can file and get their $600.
What's the age of majority?
So 18.
18.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other big thing that I want to talk about, and obviously you have questions about this, this is really going to be a focus on this year's tax filing return. So more details are going to come out about how exactly this is going to work. We know kind of the general parameters of the economic impact payment versus recovery rebate credit, but I can get into more particulars here in the coming weeks about that. But one of the last things I wanted to tell our listeners is if you were out there and you received unemployment compensation due to the pandemic or otherwise, just bear in mind that is taxable income. So remember, we got two different things here. We got stimulus checks that you received.
Tax-free.
Free money. Don't have to worry about reporting it. If you didn't receive it, now we can catch it with a recovery rebate credit. That's item number one. Item number two is if you lost your job and you received unemployment compensation, you know, you may end up come time, tax time, filing and getting a big surprise if you're not listening to me right now and hearing that is taxable income. So make sure that you are putting enough money aside or, you know, have that money withheld from your checks, your unemployment compensation checks, so you don't end up in a situation where you get this big tax bill and all of a sudden it's one of those kind of, you feel like you got kicked a little bit because, hey, I lost my job, gone through this pandemic, got this compensation where the federal government increased my unemployment compensation, and here I am, now you're telling me I owe thousands of dollars in taxes?
Yeah, that's a kick in the teeth.
That is a kick, yeah.
Now, so, when folks signed up for unemployment, did they have the option of taking taxes out of it at that point, or was it just the full lump coming into them each week?
Typically, you can opt to withhold, but a lot of people don't. And the reason they do that, Mike, is because their view is I need this money.
Yeah.
I don't have a job.
Right.
I need every bit I can get to continue to bank my bills. And then, of course, what happens? You spend it all, and then you get this rude awakening come tax time that, hey, I've got this tax bill I'm staring at. What am I going to do about this, Andrew?
You know, and a lot of people, people that received unemployment for the COVID, there was an additional
$600
from the feds.
Correct.
As far as reporting goes, and when they get the notification in their statement for the year, will it just be North Carolina, or are they going to get one from the feds, one from North Carolina?
From my understanding, it was all run through the states. So the federal government gave the money to the states to implement under their unemployment compensation.
So it's the North Carolina Employment Security Commission.
Correct. The full amount should be listed on there.
And are people receiving those statements now, or has that something that has not been released by the state yet?
Usually anytime between February is when I tell people to look out for those types of statements. I mean, you may be getting them now. We've gotten a few 1099s from some stock companies in our office relative to but that's the only thing we've really received. Nothing that's been very major relative to either state or federal tax documents that have come in.
One other topic, if you've run the list of what you had there, and I appreciate you, Andrew Foster, for staying over and talking, because these are important topics here, and we're going to have more conversations when we have your segment each Thursday. But the PPP, as far as the forgiveness goes, they're still kind of like developing forms on that.
You're right.
I know our own Chamber of Commerce back in June, I think we had PPP, not a big amount, but the banks are saying, hold off. They still haven't released the final version.
Huge news released either last night or the night before. if you received less than $150,000 in PPP money, which I think the chamber qualifies for that, you're going to get a one pager.
Good.
A one page form they just now developed that literally is almost what I would call a rubber stamp for forgiveness relative to PPP money.
Good.
So if you're at a listener hanging out there and you like, I took some PPP money, I was kind of nervous about this forgiveness.
Yeah.
If you're less than 150, pretty much you just have to certify that your funds were used for what they were used for. And as long as you can do that, they're not really asking questions.
What you understand now about this new form, which has just been released over the last day or so, one, is it written in English?
Yes.
Do you need a lot of backup? Do you need the payroll stubs and utility bills? Or is this going to be pretty much your word saying, we took it, we spent
your word.
It, and we're still in business?
Correct. And like I said, a one-page form that you're going to end up being able to check some boxes on, sign the dotted line. Again, make sure that you follow the rules relative to that, because who knows what the plan will be if there's going to be any audits of these types of forms. But as of right now, they're trying to make this forgiveness as easy as possible, especially for those who had less than $150,000 in loans under the PPP program. So this one-page form is going to be, I think, worth its weight in gold for a lot of our smaller businesses out there.
And just quickly on this PPP, is there a current PPP plan out there and available? Are there funds available?
Yes, funds available, PPP round two.
Yeah.
And we talked about that. And even if you receive the round one, you're still eligible for this round two. But there's some requirements to show that you actually did have a decrease in revenue.
That's right. You have to go back over last year's numbers. And it's like a 25% dip
Correct.
Over last year. So
Correct.
Very good, Andrew. A lot of pertinent information that you pushed out during our segment of Life and Taxes, and then thankfully stayed over and talked about this, because this is affecting a lot of people.
Yeah.
And as simple as it is for guys like you who are trained, it's sometimes confusing for the great unwashed out here, including myself. So we appreciate you putting it into layman terms. If you want to reach Andrew at the office, call 252-726-9050 or go online to harvellandcollins.com. Thank you, Andrew. We'll see you next Thursday.